Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy. Delighted to welcome you all to today's All Sides Weekend, where we talk about books. And as usual, I have three of the usual suspects with us this morning to talk about what's hot, what's great to read, summer reads, winter reads, and the great American read. We'll be talking about all of that. Mark Maxwell is here. He is the assistant district manager for Half Price Books. It's always great to have Mark with us. Welcome back. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Cassie Rose is WOSU's book critic. Her indispensable blog for anyone who loves to read is thelongestchapter.com, and I'll be asking Cassie what's the latest on the blog in just a moment. And Robin Nesbitt is the branch manager of the new Hilliard branch of the Columbus Metropolitan Library. So, Robin Nesbitt, I'm going to start with you. Since I last saw you a couple of weeks ago, what's new?
Well, the new branch has been open for 3 weeks. For those who don't know, we opened up a brand new facility on Hickory Chase Way. It's 63,000 square feet, so it's triple the size of the old building. It has been incredibly successful. I was telling Cassie and Mark earlier, the first 2 weeks that we were open, we were seeing 270 people an hour, and they were checking out anywhere from about 540 items. So it's been incredibly popular, incredibly well-received. The community just loves it, and it's been fabulous.
And they all listen to All Sides Weekend Books, don't they?
A lot of them do.
A lot of them do.
Exactly.
Right.
So hello to all the Hilliard listeners out there.
Well, it's a fantastic facility. Yeah. And congratulations
Thank
to you,
you
and
much.
Your
Thanks.
Colleagues, Robin
Thanks.
Nesbitt.
Thanks.
Mark Maxwell, we haven't seen you for a while, so I want to start with you because your taste in books is always eclectic and really interesting. So what have you brought for us today?
Well, the book on the top of my stack is a book called There, There by Tommy Orange. This is a very buzzy literary debut right now. So it's been very well reviewed and on the papers. It's actually gone into a sixth printing at this point, so it's been selling very well. There, There is a novel, and Tommy Orange is a Native American writer. So There, There concerns the lives of Native people living in the city of Oakland. So it's a side of Native American life that we don't often see in fiction. Obviously, we've had a lot of great Native writers. Louise Erdrich comes to mind and is kind of name-checked in this book a couple of times. But this is a side of that culture that we don't see very often. It's a very well-constructed novel. So Tommy Orange starts the novel. For the first 100 pages, he is introducing characters in kind of short prose poems. The novel is told by at least a dozen different characters. It's kind of a chorus of voices. And they all illustrate some aspect of Native American life in Oakland. So for the first half of the book, he's introducing these characters that are seemingly unrelated. And then for the second half of the book, he shows us the connections between those characters that may not be immediately apparent. It may not even be known to them. One of them is another one's lost father. Some of them show up as minor characters in each other's stories. And then as the story progresses, he starts sort of careening them into each other until finally they all meet at a big powwow in the Oakland Coliseum. It's a compelling story. It is a very heavy book. It's a sad book. It's a book that mourns. A lot of these folks are dealing with substance abuse issues, domestic violence. But it's also a hopeful book. It's the moral center of the book is a pair of half sisters who grow up in sort of a nomadic existence. Their mother is kind of taking them around from place to place, and they take very different paths in their lives. One of them struggles with substance abuse. The other one is asked to care for her sister's grandchildren at some point. So we see the ways that their lives intersect and intersect with the other characters. It's an unbelievably strong literary debut, and I'm sure we'll be seeing more from Tommy Orange in the future.
Am I correct when I say that it's somewhat unusual when we have Native American literature or books about the Native American community that an urban setting is unusual?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
How does he use Oakland, California in context of the story or stories?
Sure. And I think that Tommy Orange is setting out to tell a story that's a little bit different. And I think that the way that he uses the setting is sort of illustrated in the title. So there comes from a famous quote about Oakland by Gertrude Stein, right? Gertrude Stein said of Oakland, there's no – who Gertrude Stein was a native of Oakland, and she said of that town that there is no there there. And in the story, one of the characters comments on that quote and points out that that quote has a very specific meaning for Native American people because for them, the there of North America has been taken away from them. So this is a landscape that they have a connection to that's been paved over, and they are trying to, find their own place in that landscape now that's been covered over by something else.
The author is Tommy Orange. This is his debut, as you said.
It is.
Yeah. Hard name to forget. That's a good thing.
Indeed.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mark Maxwell, for that recommendation. A new book by Tommy Orange, a first-time author for us. And we'll look forward to something else from him as well. Cassie Rose, thelongestchapter.com is your blog. You, as usual, have brought a stack of books for us to talk about. What's the buzz?
Well, right now, I'm reading a book called A Million Drops by a Spanish author. His name is Victor del Árbol. It's been an international bestseller. And it's a complex mystery, epic sort of, in, I would say, because it's more than 600 pages, but very worthwhile, especially if you're going on a beach vacation or you want something long to read beside the pool. It starts with a woman named Laura who commits suicide because she has been accused of killing the Russian mobster who killed her son. Hmm. Sounds sort of very basic and
is
like
that
some
page
sort of
one.
Well, no, but you get it. You know, it sounds like a basic mystery, but boy, does he take it in a lot of different directions. Her brother, who is a lawyer, does not believe that she did commit the murder, as well as many of the people that know her, that she's been set up. And there's a complexity here because of what she has been involved in, which likely involves the Spanish mafia. And there's a parallel story going on about her father and her brother's father, who in 1933, as an engineer, went to Soviet Russia, a communist. So there's some themes here going on about Franco's Russia, Franco's Spain, and then what was going on with the communism at the time in the 1930s and what happens to their father. So you've got these chapters where the author is diving into that storyline. And eventually they come together, but there's a mystery about the father, what happened to him in his life and how he came to the marriage and then he disappeared when the children were five. And what is going on with Laura and why is it that the son was killed, and a complexity of characters that's sort of Dickensian, I would say. And it's amazingly compelling, but you do have to keep with it, which is why I recommend that you take it on a vacation with you, because you keep turning the pages and it sticking with that thread makes a big difference.
I'm somebody you said this was a mystery, and mm-hmm. I'm someone when I read a mystery, first of all, I never get it. I'm always surprised.
Yeah.
I'm always wrong, and I always get that real kick in the last 20 pages. Do you think I would get the same here?
Yes, you can't figure this out.
Well, I never do. I'm always wrong.
It's just like most people. And it's because that's why he's weaving this this complicated tapestry, you could say, and you're like, okay, why is he taking me back to Soviet Russia? And the father says a few wrong things. He's only in his 20s, I think, at the time, a young guy, engineer, sent over there to help, Soviet Russia, but he says a few wrong things and he gets sent to Siberia. So there's this path of where he's going down with that. And then you're wondering, well, how is this going to tie in with the murder that happened in, after the year 2000? How is it this author bringing it together? And there's part of that where you're like, oh, it's not that you're confused, but you're like, I can't figure this out. So you just keep going. It's dark. I'm going to at least
put had two dark books. Great. One from Oakland and one from Soviet Russia, and it's 11:15.
But it's not noirish dark, like Swedish detective. Yeah. I can't go down that path.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's very good. And what interests me, too, is that, this is an international bestseller, and I do read these books that are, bestsellers across the pond. they don't tend to get as much play here in the United States. And I don't know why. I don't know if readership is different or if the media attention is different for them. But this seems to be a book to me that many, many people who love mysteries, who love thrillers, would enjoy this book.
The author, Victor D'Arbol, did you know this author before?
I did not.
Okay.
I've not read any of
his. That's a good introduction to them.
Okay. But I also, it caught my attention too because it is published by the Other Press. And I love the books that come out of the Other Press. They have very distinguished books and different, unique books, the kind that really take your interest and you get lost in and you think, boy, that was a different book. It's not the mainstream bestseller type books that are like, okay, I understand why everybody's excited about this
book. But what you just said, I think, is great, a book you can get lost in. I think that's a lot of us enjoy that. And this is called A Million Drops.
Yes, A Million Drops.
Okay. Robin Nesbitt also brings us Quick Picks from the Columbus Library, which you're going to explain very quickly again what Quick Picks are.
So Columbus Metropolitan Library offers Quick Picks at all 23 of our locations, and basically these are bestsellers that you may be waiting for, but you walk in and boom, there it is. You can check it out for 21 days. You can't renew it. And I will say that there is a Quick Pick. So it's not just beach reads. It's not just bestsellers. It's, you know, books like there that have, you know, been in, you know, six printings and tons of interest. So.
Not just fiction either.
There's nonfiction too. So I'm trying to think. James Comey's book was a Quick Pick.
Got it. And, got it there.
Exactly.
Yep.
So that's
got Fire and Fury.
Right,
I got
Fire
that
and Fury. Yeah, exactly. Neil deGrasse Tyson. One of his books was a Quick Pick. So, and it's kids' books too. So it's kids, it's nonfiction, it's fiction. But it's basically you walk in, you're like, wow, I've been waiting for that. And you grab it and take it home and enjoy
it. The books that everybody's talking about or you're reading about everywhere that you think you're going to have to wait a year to read, and there they are. So what's one we can talk about now?
So I don't actually have any books with me because they're so hard to get my hands on.
Good.
But one that's out now is called Something in the Water by Catherine Stedman. And the only reason you may know, and I didn't know this woman because I stopped watching Downton Abbey after the second season, but she was an actress on Downton Abbey. She was on season 5. She played Mabel Lane Fox. So she's written a thriller, which I love this blurb. It says, what would you do if you discovered a bag full of money and diamonds? An engaged couple with money trouble finds it's not the boon they thought. So this is a book that is written by an actress, and then Reese Witherspoon has picked it for her book club. So it's got a lot of, you know, celebrity attention behind it, and then it sounds like a really great beach read. I haven't actually put my hands on it because I think it's flown off the shelves as soon as we shelved the thing. So
it will now, certainly. Give me the title and the author again.
It's called Something in the Water by Catherine Stedman.
Who was a graduate of Downton Abbey.
Correct, yes. She was on season 5. She played Mabel Lane Fox for you Downton Abbey fans.
I am one, but I don't remember her. I'll have to
look her up.
Anyway, and I can't believe you've only seen season one of Downton Abbey. That's another conversation.
Okay, I made it through 2 seasons. How's that?
We're going to take a break and come back in just a moment with more of All Sides Weekend Books with Cassie Rose, Mark Maxwell, and Robin Nesbitt. I'm Christopher Purdy. Don't go away. Thank you, Amy Jurevich. Nice to have you back where you belong. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend Books. I'm with Cassie Rose, WOSU's book critic. Mark Maxwell is assistant district manager of Half Price Books, which is everyone's favorite place to shop for books in our area. And Robin Nesbitt is the manager of the new Hilliard branch of the Columbus Library. Speaking of the Columbus Library, you may wonder, what is TGAR? TGAR is the Great American Read. That is something that you can learn more about at pbs.org/Great American Read. It is it was a survey done last year from several thousand people, and they asked from those people, they put together a list of 100 favorite novels. And we are going to be celebrating these novels. WOSU is partnering with the Columbus Metropolitan Library to promote the Great American Read. It's a nationwide campaign where you can vote on America's best loved book. To celebrate all this great fiction, we're going to be your hosts for, get this, 50 Fiction Facts About Columbus quiz. That's Friday, August 10th. That's at the main branch of the library, so come on down. There'll be hors d'oeuvres, a cash bar, door prizes, and a chance to challenge your literary knowledge. Get this. I'm going to be the MC of a panel, including our own Cassie Rose and our own Robin Nesbitt. We're going to have a fun fact quiz of Columbus literary figures and subjects, and we would like you to come and be there with us on August 10th at the Columbus Metropolitan Library. If you want to have a look at the 100 finalists, if you will, novels in the Great American Read, you can pick one up at any branch of the Columbus Metropolitan Library, or you can go to pbs.org/Great American Read. You can also vote on your own favorite book. Speaking of the Great American Read, of the 100, I'm just curious to know if anybody has a favorite on the list that they'd like to talk about, Mark Maxwell.
Sure. Lots of my favorite books are on these on this list, actually. And it's a list of books that always sell well in the bookstore, and we kind of think of them as old friends. I love 100 Years of Solitude. There's some great science fiction on the list. Mm-hmm. Isaac Asimov is there. Douglas Adams is there. I was happy to see A Confederacy of Dunces. I know you love that one as well. And I think that's
my Bible.
I think it's a book that's aging particularly well right now. Because,
unlike me.
Well, it's a book about Ignatius Raleigh, right? And he is someone who's kind of withdrawn from society. He's into medieval philosophy. He's really absorbed in the sort of minutiae of his thing, and very disdainful of everything else. And I think, you know, in this internet age, I think if the internet has taught us anything, is that there's an awful lot of people like that, and maybe there's a little bit of Ignatius Raleigh in all of us. So I think that that is a book that is very resonant right now in our society.
John Kennedy Toole is the author.
Indeed.
He passed away many years ago. This is his only book.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wanted it. And after his death, his mother put it in a shopping bag and bullied Robert Gottlieb into publishing it, literally.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. I have to tell you, I read it every year.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't, but I do. I read it every year. So thank you for mentioning that.
Sure.
Yeah. Cassie Rose, how about you? What do you think of this list? And what do you like? Maybe what's an omission? But let's start with what you like.
Well, I love this list. I love it for its diversity. That's the thing, is that they went, the survey was, they went out to a very diverse community. So you will see everything on this list from 1984 and Don Quixote to 50 Shades of Grey and The Hunger Games and Dune. And you can tell that they talk to so many different people. And I love that. And I certainly have gone to the list and checked off all the ones that I have read. And I'm looking at the ones that I haven't read and reading them. And I've also reread some. I reread Rebecca recently by Daphne du Maurier, which remains a favorite. Another favorite is Jane Eyre, both classics. But one book I had not read and I did read recently was A Prayer for Owen Meany, which I absolutely loved.
John Irving.
And I will be actually leading a book club for this book on September 25th at Gramercy. So, and it is part of the TIGAR. What we're going to do is that we're going to certainly talk about this book, but I also want to find out at that time, which is very close to when they will be revealing the book. So this is September 25th. We'll be talking about A Prayer for Owen Meany. I'll be asking, what is your favorite book? What have you voted for? How has your voting pattern been? Like, I have one friend who has been going in every day and voting for Beloved. And so talking about it and what they hope will win. And then, because on October 23rd, they're going to have the big reveal, PBS will.
Now, when they reveal, is it going to be the runners-up, or is it just the one book that everybody voted for? How is that going to work?
I think it's the one book.
Okay.
On October 23rd.
Okay.
So A Prayer for Owen Meany became one of my favorite books because I read it because of the list. And certainly there are some other ones that I'm pursuing, I could say. I also just finished The Outsiders by S.E. Hinton, which I've been meaning to read for a long time, and I knew it was kind of a cult favorite. And certainly I had seen it on the two-hour show that PBS
had. It's a wonderful show, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great – Meredith Vieira hosted it.
Yeah, great job.
And
yes,
you can see it at pbs.org. It's still there, /The Great American Read. If you haven't seen that show yet, they go around and talk to all kinds of people, regular people, and they explain why they chose the book.
Mm-hmm.
And there are books you've never heard of that have been, you understand why they're on the list.
Yes, and I particularly remember the person that talked about The Outsiders by Essie Hinton, and I can see him now going to the house where she grew up, because she wrote the book when she was 16 years old, and going around the area in the neighborhood, and he was just talking so passionately about why he loved the book and about Soda Pop and Pony Boy, which are the characters, and the gangs that, you know, the rival gangs that are kind of West Side Story-like and what happens in the book. So, and because of that, I picked up the book, and I totally get why it is a cult favorite. I mean, it's not a favorite of mine now, but I love the fact that I have read it. I get why it's a favorite and see why it's a contender. So that's the way you can use the list, is to go through and just start picking out some of the books you haven't read.
Yeah, which is Robin Nesbitt, how about you? Do you have any favorites or?
Well, I'm going to echo Cassie in that I love the diversity. Working in a public library, I was really happy to see, because a lot of times lists come out like this and they're, you know, ancient dead white guys. And I'm like, come on, man, not everybody reads that stuff. So my favorite's Harry Potter. I'm not going to lie, I go on every day and I vote for Harry Potter. So
lady after my own heart.
I'm an unabashed fan of Harry Potter, but there's lots of other great reads on there too. I went through two and there's a lot I haven't read and I need to get busy, but I haven't quite got there yet. So
I read my first Agatha Christie thanks to this list.
I want to read that Agatha Christie.
And then there were none.
It's a great book.
My wife is an Agatha Christie devotee. She's probably read everything four times.
Wow.
And we'll read them five times. Yeah. But I read and I got it immediately why she's the best-selling author of all time, next to the Bible and Shakespeare. The craftsmanship of it was incredible. It was great. There's a book on that list that I had never heard of, which is why I love the list and why I love the show, because there are a lot of books I never heard of. But there was one called Bless Me Ultima by Rodolfo Anaya, which is described as the greatest Latino novel of the last 50 years. It's a beautiful novel about a young boy who lives with his family in New Mexico. And Ultima she's a healer. She's not a witch. She's not a healer, but she is viewed by many people with suspicion, but by many more people with love. And it's about the relationship between this little boy and this elderly woman, and in the context of a wonderful family life. And Anaya really, he got me immediately with place, a part of the country I know nothing about. I've never been to New Mexico. I don't know anything about it, but I felt immediately drawn to it. So Bless Me Ultima was one that I thought was just terrific.
Cool.
So we will be August 10th at the library. I think it's 7 o'clock at the main branch of the library. Cassie Rose, Robin Nesbitt, myself, and you will be all down there. We're going to also invite some local authors. We're going to have a fun fact quiz about the literary world of Columbus, Ohio, sort of a trivial pursuit. So come on down. There'll be a cash bar and free food. So, you know, check it out. Come with us and we're going to be talking more about The Great American Read as time goes on, and look forward to seeing you. And Mark Maxwell, I want another recommendation from you, not necessarily from The Great American Read, but The Great American Mark. What'd you bring us?
I brought a book by a beloved Ohio science fiction writer named John Scalzi. And it's a book called Old Man's War. It was just published in 2005, I think, but it is quickly becoming a science fiction classic. So what happens in Old Man's War is it's set in the future. We are starting to colonize other planets, and it turns out that the galaxy is full of kind of hostile other species. So we need a military force to protect those colonies. But it also turns out that war in space is quite dangerous and extremely unpleasant, and it's difficult to get anyone to go do it. So the government starts a program where senior citizens can volunteer to enlist in the Space Army, the Colonial Defense Force. So the idea is you come to what you think is close to the end of your life. You go and volunteer. They outfit you with a brand new body that it's grown from your own DNA. So it's you, but it's better. You're stronger. You're faster. You're better looking.
God, and then sign me up.
And then they send you off to fight the space wars. And if you survive a number of years of service, then you get to become a colonist. But of course, no one ever survives because it's extremely dangerous. So Old Man's War is the story of one soldier, John Perry, who is an advertising executive who decides at the end of his life, he's just lost his wife. He thinks that his life on Earth is over. And so he joins the Colonial Defense Force and goes off and fights battles in space.
Hmm.
cool.
Tell me about John Scalzi. You said he's a local writer.
Right. Yeah, he lives now in Ohio. Old Man's War was his first novel, and as I said, it's kind of becoming a classic. But he has since then, I think, 9 novels, some of them set in the world of Old Man's War, some of them set in other sort of science fiction milieu. His latest novel is called Head On, and it's kind of a FBI procedural robot sports thing with a gender indistinct narrator. So it's I almost brought that one, but it seemed very difficult to describe in a couple of minutes.
Well, I'm going to call him. I want him to come August 10th to the library. So, John, if you're listening, write that date down, August 10th. So thank you very much for that heads up. Give me the title one more time.
It's called Old Man's
Old
War
Man's
by
War.
John Scalzi.
Very good from Mark Maxwell, district manager of Half Price Books. Robin Nesbitt, hit me with another quick pick.
Well, Ann Tyler's out with another one. She's, for people who may be aware, she's written for years about one place, pretty much, Baltimore, Maryland. And this is, she's a Pulitzer Prize winner. This one is actually, I don't think this one is, well, no, it is set in, she starts in Baltimore and then the person, then the young woman leaves. So this is Willa Drake, 1967. She's a schoolgirl coping with her mother's sudden disappearance. In 1977, she's a college co-ed, considering a marriage proposal. In 97, she's a young widow. And in 2017, she yearns to be a grandmother. So we can see it's about this young woman going back 40 years. I haven't actually been able to read it. I can see that this is another one of, you know, Anne's quiet, thoughtful, you know, it's a character-driven novel. It's not going to be a page-turner. It's not going to have dead bodies in it, but it's more about, you know, kind of a character study. And it's interesting. I think Anne's probably, what, in her 70s or 80s by now. So she's been writing a long time. And I'm just amazed that she continues to, you know, turn out great work. So we'll see how this one does.
One question I want to ask you. I know that my local branch of the library at Whitestone does have displays of the Quick Picks, certainly.
Yeah.
And they also have a TGAR display, the Great American Read. Is that something that we're going to find in most libraries?
We
branches?
Should, yeah. Like at Hilliard, we have our Quick Pick display and our TGAR close together up on the second floor. So you can browse the Quick Picks and then maybe pick up, you know, Atlas Shrugged.
And certainly you should
lift weights with it. You
that's
know?
On the list there. Cassie Rose, give me another recommendation, whether it's TGAR or not. It's Cassie's choice.
I'm going to go with Cassie's choice. It's a collection of essays which actually function as a memoir, and it's got a great title. It's called For Single Mothers Working as Train Conductors. It's by Laura Esther Wolfson.
Gotta love it.
And it's a memoir because they're personal essays, and she's got an interesting life. She has worked as an interpreter and translator of Russian. And so she has been an interpreter at mafia trials, at dignitaries' events for in Russia. And she writes about how she came to learn the language. And also in the first essay of the title one with this strange title, she is married to a Russian. And when she wants to have children, he says, well, that's fine as long as we have 24-hour daycare. And she doesn't understand what he means or wants or what's going on or if it's just he's just putting her off because he doesn't want to have children. So she writes about the cultural differences that she has with her husband. She writes about also knowing the language. And she's just a plain vanilla American, and she's in New York City. And here she's getting a massage by Russian masseuses who are talking in Russian, and she understands all that they're saying. And she's always like, well, do I reveal that I can say understand this or not? It also has an interesting aspect because she develops in her 30s a lung disease, a rare lung disease. So she doesn't have the endurance anymore to do the interpreting. Mm. So she gets a job in New York City. It sounds like it's probably at the United Nations. I can't tell. But anyway, she is translating documents now. And of course, she has medical care or medical insurance, which she needs. One of the most interesting essays is when she writes about how she is asked to translate a book. And she has this first-time job. She feels she can't do it. She feels she's been too distant from it. A publisher is asking, so she turns it down. Well, 10 years later, that author and Svetlana Alexandrovich, I think was her name, won the Nobel Prize.
Ah.
So she writes about this missed opportunity,
yeah,
that chance of the lost Nobel. And that's what I love about this collection of essays. She really does reveal her vulnerabilities, her choices, and you come to really just love her for who she is and her transparency and also this interesting life. The book won an award. It was the literary nonfiction winner in 2017 for an Iowa Writers Award. So University of Iowa Press.
That's
so,
the Harvard of writers, yep. Isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. And it's I think it's just gone under the radar screen because it I haven't seen it touted much. And I think it is a worthy book, and it should be more on the radar screen. Just because it's very unique, very different, her life is interesting, and she writes about it so openly. There's also part of the book, she writes about her Jewish roots, which she was brought up in a very non-religious practicing household, so she doesn't understand them, and what that, how that plays out for her. Living in Manhattan and passing a synagogue,
who are raised in a non-religious environment, who themselves become religious as they get older. Is that something that's going on here?
No, I think it's more her
cultural.
She's confused, or she's wondering why. Why did she not have the Friday night Sabbath rituals, and how she's drawn to them, or she sees the people outside the synagogue and she wants to go in, and then she feels like a stranger or an outsider. Again, she reveals this part of her life, and she's a good writer.
Give us the title because it's unforgettable. I just forgot it, and the name of the writer as well.
It's called For Single Mothers Working as Train Conductors. It's by Laura Esther Wolfson.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I'm going to give the phone number now because I'm curious to know if anybody wants to talk about TGAR, The Great American Read. Maybe there's a book on the list that you have read or want to read, or anything else about books you want to discuss, 614-292-8513. You could also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Thank you, Amy Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy, back with our last segment of today's All Sides Weekend Books with Cassie Rose, WOSU's book critic, Mark Maxwell from Half Price Books, and Robin Nesbitt from the Hilliard branch of the Columbus Library. How many of you have read Gone with the Wind?
I have.
Have you?
Yep,
I went to Half Price Books on Lane Avenue when this TGAR, Great American Read list, came out, and I bought five books there, and Gone with the Wind is one of them. I'd never read it, but it's on my bedside table right now. A big, thick book.
Yeah,
but, and we, of course, I'm sort of, you know, I'm sure I'm going to be hearing Clark Gable and Vivian Leigh's voice as I read the book, but I'm looking forward to that. It's not something I ever thought I would pick up, and
right.
I'm glad that the list kind of motivated me to do that.
I luckily read it before. I hadn't seen the movie, so I didn't have any voices in my head.
You've never seen the movie?
No.
To this day?
To this day.
Mm. Well, it's going to be a Kappa in a few weeks. I'm going to take you.
You'll
be my date.
All right.
What do you have for us, Robin Nesbitt, as another quick pick?
So another quick pick I have, and then there's a book I want to talk about that I've been reading that's really good. The quick pick, though, is The Other Woman by Daniel Silva. People probably recognize him. He's written this is his 18th novel, and he features Gabriel Allon, who is an art restorer but also a member of the Israeli intelligence. And part of the reason I'm picking this one out is it's now been acquired by MGM for TV. I've always wondered why they've never made this into a TV show, so I think this will be a great TV show. So it's called The Other Woman by Dania Silva. It's not actually out yet. It comes out July 17th, so that's this coming Tuesday. It'll be out. So.
Okay.
The book I'm actually reading that's really good, like Cassie, I try to find things that are – I'm a huge mystery reader, and I try to find things that are out of the normal. This one I'm reading is called The Ruins by Dervla McTiernan. It's Irish. We meet Cormac Riley, who's a Garda, and we meet him as a young Garda, a young officer in the Garda.
A cop. cop, right?
The cop, right. Yeah. That's the Irish cop, which is Garda. He has to go to this old ruined house, and he comes up to this house, and there's a young 15-year-old girl named Maud with her son or with her brother, Jack, and they're living in it was a mansion at one point, but the thing is now falling apart. It's musty, and Mom is an alcoholic who has died of a heroin overdose. So he discovers these two children. He gets them out of there. Jack has been, you can tell he's been beaten. He's got bruises. He's got burns in his shoulder, probably from a cigarette. They take Jack to the hospital, and he tells Maud, sit here and wait. He goes back out. Maud's gone. So that's how the book starts. And then you flash forward to Cormac has been very successful in Dublin. He's been part of an anti-terrorist, and he's decided to move with his girlfriend Emma to Galway. She now has an opportunity to career. He's decided to switch over. And, of course, there's a lot of politics and policing. And so when he gets to Galway, of course, they think, oh, this big shot from Dublin, we don't like him. So they start giving him cold cases. He's not allowed to investigate any active murders. Alongside this story, you learn that Jack has become successful. He's had a good life. He has a partner, a young woman who's a doctor, who they find out she's pregnant. She goes to bed one night after telling him that she's pregnant with his baby, wakes up the next morning, he doesn't come home. 2 days later, the cops knock on the door. He's committed suicide. So now, all of a sudden, you've got Cormac investigating this cold case, and did he really kill himself or was it suicide? Maud flies back from Australia. All of a sudden, she's back in the mix. It's just a great mystery read. So if you're looking for something a little different, I'm about three quarters of the way. I'm going to rush home this afternoon and finish it. I'm three quarters of the way through, but it's great.
The Ruins.
The Ruins.
By?
Dervla McTiernan, set in modern-day Galway, but flashing back to Dublin and things like
my
that.
My grandfather was born in Galway, which I understand today is a way cool city.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
my
understanding.
It wasn't,
I think, 150 years ago, it wasn't so cool.
Right,
but today,
right.
It's very cool. All right. The Ruins by McTiernan. Cassie Rosa, we talk about your blog, thelongestchapter.com, and I'd like you to just tell us what's current on the blog right now.
Right now, I have a summer reading list, and it is 21 books that I recommend as good summer reads.
Good.
The differentiating factor about it, though, is that they are not all new books that came out this summer. And quite frankly, I just don't think that this summer we've had some great books coming out. So I thought I'm going to look at the old books and where there are some great ones, like Barracuda by Christos Tsliokas. I can never say his name. He wrote The Slap.
The Slap. We talked about that, right.
Yeah. Barracuda is about the swimmer.
Yes.
Also, The Sojourn by Andrew Krivok, which is a wonderful World War I story. I have two series listed on it, the Patrick Melrose series, if you want to get involved in a series, and also the Regeneration series by Pat Barker. Man Gone Down by Michael Thomas, a wonderful book that won the Man Booker Prize several years ago. And some nonfiction books on there, too. The Hair with Amber Eyes by Edmund de Waal. Mm. Interesting nonfiction book where he looks back into his ancestry that goes way back into the 1800s. And another book on there, it's out of print, but it's about the Duke and Duchess of Windsor. I thought with The Crown out there and people just loving that, it's a great book. You do have to get it from a used bookstore, though. It's out of print, but it's their biography. Just a great one that came out in the 70s.
Their memoir? Did they write it? No.
No, someone else wrote it about them.
Okay.
And gives a little bit more, and gets in, you dig into a little bit more information about her. So that's what the list is. It's just 21 books for the summer that I recommend. It's very diverse. So it has fiction. It has nonfiction. It has some classics on there. Eudora Welty's The Optimist's Daughter. It also has Jacqueline Suzanne's Valley of the Dolls on it. Because really,
here we go.
It's really a
shame
good
on you. Nice girl
treat.
Like you.
So I had to spice it up a little bit.
When I was a kid, that was one of the books that was locked in the glass cabinet in the Lexington, Massachusetts library.
Right.
And you had to ask for it. And the reference, they'd give you the look, you know. A book like that was locked up. And they had 50 copies of it, and they were all checked out. You know, my mother read it. So anyway.
Well, that was the 50 Shades of Gray back in the 1960s.
Yes.
So we have it, and it's not locked up.
Yeah, it still stands strong today because it talks about issues that women still struggle with today.
Sure.
Identity issues.
Part of Me Too is in that book, you know, 50 years ago. You know, the more things change, alas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's thelongestchapter.com. Mm-hmm. You can get Cassie Rose 21 summer recommendations. Mm-hmm. It's midsummer. You have time yet. Mm-hmm. And as I've said to you before, if Cassie recommends a book, read it because she's never wrong. And anybody who brings me a book called For Single Mothers Working as Train Conductors is okay in my book. So thank you very much for that. Yeah. Mark Maxwell, you certainly have a very interesting take on books. You like graphic novels. You like science fiction. You like sort of edgy stuff. And that's why one of the reasons I love you. So what do you got for us?
Well, actually, I brought something with me. We lost a great American novelist a couple of months ago, Philip Roth.
Yeah.
And Philip Roth sadly did not make the Great American Read list, mm-hmm. which was a little surprising. But I just wanted to recommend to people that they go back and check out Philip Roth. He has a number of wonderful novels. The one I brought with me was one that came up quite a lot in the eulogies of Philip Roth that appeared in the weeks after his death. And it's a little surprising to me because it wasn't necessarily one of the books that he was known for. It's called The Plot Against America.
It's a great book.
It's a wonderful book. Yeah. So what happens in the book is American history takes a little bit of a wrong turn in 1940. And Charles Lindbergh, the famous aviator, gets elected president. And his political platform is to avoid the American entry into World War II. He runs a fairly anti-Semitic campaign. And what's interesting about this book is that Philip Roth tells the story from his own point of view. He tells the story as himself. He's growing up. He's a child living in a Jewish neighborhood in New York City. And he imagines not just the effect that this change might have on the country, but the effects that those changes might have on himself and his own family, and what it's like to go from, you know, being a member of a sort of close, safe community to living in a world that seems much less safe. It's a really fascinating novel. Certainly one of Philip Roth's best books. I would also recommend that people go back and check out Goodbye Columbus, which won an early National Book Award.
Funny book.
Sure. Portnoy's Complaint, which was a huge blockbuster bestseller that is still just laugh out loud funny. He has a body of work that is to be reckoned with, I think. And sadly, you were talking earlier, Cassie, about a lost Nobel. Philip Roth never won the Nobel Prize that so many people thought that he so richly deserved.
Mm-hmm. He can be funny and tragic on the same page.
Indeed,
Philip Roth. Yeah, he's an author that was talked about for years, and I think more people talked about him than read him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think now that he's passed, I think it really. I don't know why he's not on the Great American Read book,
right.
At least one of them. But The Plot Against America was a very disturbing book and a good read. And I'm glad you brought that one up. Lindbergh and Henry Ford are people whose lives don't bear close scrutiny, really. I mean, there are dark sides to them. Certainly delineated in books like that. We are in about 8 minutes left to the show. If you want to give us a recommendation or a call, 614-292-8513 or all sides at WOSU.org. We love you out there, but we're kind of having a good time here anyway, just hanging out with each other. Robin, what do you have quickly? First of all, I want to ask you, the Hilliard branch of the library has a big, wonderful new building. What happened to the old one?
The old one went. This library owned it, and so we put it on the retail market, and good. So sold it real estate market. So
what about the swimming pool?
It got paved over. It's a pavilion, so it's a lovely space to sit out and enjoy books and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's at 4500 Hickory Chase Way. Also, thinking about summer reading list, don't forget summer reading challenge. You can sign up and with ColumbusLibrary.org, and it's for adults too. I think people think summer reading is only for kids, and our reading program is for all ages. 0 to 99, and so there's some really nice. I mean, my thing is, if you're going to read anyway, why not read and get some prizes? You know, so
why not go for it?
Thanks. So, ColumbusLibrary.org summer reading challenge. One of the quick picks I have listed here is called Baby Teeth. This one's getting a lot of attention again in the thriller world because this is about a young girl. She's, I think she's like only five. No, she's seven. She has never spoken. And she's what you would call a willful child. And think, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like, you know, Damien or like, I think it's like a devil child is really what this thing is. It's called Baby Teeth by I can't say her name. Zoje Staged. I think this is the first book. This girl's manipulative. She manipulates her mom. She gets anger every day, more aggressive. I think this one will probably be made into a movie. Wouldn't surprise me. But this is one that I keep seeing everywhere when they're talking about thrillers of the year or the hot mystery of the year. Baby Teeth is the one that shows up. So
another great title, Baby Teeth.
Yeah, exactly. And it's got a great cover, too. But yeah, apparently this little seven-year-old's like crazy. So check it out.
Crazy's always good. I have a call to share with Greg from Columbus. Hi, Greg. Go ahead. You're on.
Hey there. Apologize for my voice. I'm getting over a bit of a flu here. But I actually heard about this book from Tim Kreider called I Wrote This Book Because I Love You.
Oh.
It's a collection of essays.
Another great title.
He was actually on Fresh Air sometime in February, I think, promoting the release of his book. So he's a pretty interesting guy. It's an interesting collection of essays. And some people who are familiar with the New York Times might be familiar with some of his work because he's wrote in there quite a few times. But, yeah, it's a great summer read.
Thanks, Greg. The title is I Wrote This Book Because I Love You. Give me the name of the author again.
Tim Kreider.
Tim Kreider. Thank you so much. We appreciate the recommendation. Yeah. From Greg here on All Sides Weekend, talking about books. If you wanted, we have 3 minutes left for talking. If you want to call in, 614-292-8513, or send a quick email, a real quick email to allsides@wosu.org. But I do want to have time to get one more recommendation from the three of you. Cassie Rose, go.
I'm going to recommend The Call by Yannick Murphy. It's about a veterinarian. You can think James Herriot, only this is fiction. It's a great book, heartwarming, and the family is funny. I'll just say when the wife goes into rants about nobody picks up their clothes and everybody leaves their dishes in the sink and all this, everybody just runs out of the house.
That's a good idea.
So I mentioned that to give you a sense of the tone of the book. There are certainly some serious things that go on in it, but the veterinarian is really a great protagonist, and I highly recommend the book. It's called The Call by Yannick Murphy.
Mark Maxwell.
It is Friday the 13th, and so I pulled the booksellers to try to find a kind of spooky book that I could bring with me. And the title that came up most often is Slade House by David Mitchell. David Mitchell, of course, is the author of Cloud Atlas and The Bone Clocks. And this book is kind of a companion to The Bone Clocks, but
it's
you don't have to.
Bone Clock, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to have read The Bone Clocks to enjoy it. It's kind of a fun romp through all the tropes of Victorian horror novels. There are spooky twins. There's an unkempt garden. There's a giant house that eats people. It's a lot of fun. It's much shorter than David Mitchell's other books, so it might be a good introduction to him.
All right, and Robin Nesbitt, how about you?
From TGAR, I'm going to plug Lonesome Dove by Larry McMurtry. Oh, I'm not a Western fan, but man, that was a great read. So if you're looking for a sprawling, lots of people, Western, just kick back, drink a soda, and read a book, read Lonesome Dove by Larry McMurtry.
Okay, we have a call from Michael in Columbus. Hi, Michael.
Hello?
Go ahead, you're on.
Yes, this is a book by the local author. Her name is Elizabeth Salmon.
Okay.
And she's actually blind, and probably, I believe this is her second book. But this is a book about the biblical times, and her characters just come alive, and that's why I love the book.
Lira Interest, from the name of the author again?
Elizabeth Sammons, S-A-M-M-O-N-S.
Demons. Very good. Thank you very much, Michael from Columbus. Email from Bethany. I have a younger cousin, 10 years old. She likes to read, but sometimes struggle to hold her attention. She told me she'd like to read some historical fiction books. Any suggestions for this little reader, historical fiction?
Well, you can never go wrong with little House on the Prairie. You know, those are good. You know, that caught my attention. And I'm not a historical fiction fan, but those, you know, are great, you know, so for a young girl. And I'm going to recommend
Harriet the Spy.
I love that. I mean, I hate to say it. It almost is historical fiction, but it's a fabulous read for a 10-year-old. Every 10-year-old girl or 11-year-old girl that comes in the library, I just shove it at them. It's a great read.
Do people still read Emil and the Detectives?
Yes.
That's a wonderful one, too. Yeah. I grew up on that one.
Phantom Tollbooth, another good one.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's great. A Wrinkle in Time.
So
there's a lot there. And Bethany, if you haven't, go to the Hilliard Library and talk to Robin Nesbitt.
She's happy to help.
She has all the sort of information about that. I'm sorry we can't get to all the calls. I appreciate that you're calling, and we can't get to the rest of our calls, but call back next time we're on the air. I want to remind everybody about the Great American Read and the event at the Main Branch downtown of the Columbus Library on August 10th. We are partnering, WOSU is, with the library for a Great American Read summer celebration on Friday, August 10th. We're going to be doing a show called 50 Fiction Facts About Columbus Quiz. Order Herbs, Cash Bar, Cassie Rose, and Robin Nesbitt, What's Not to Love. I'm Christopher Purdy. I thank you, Cassie Rose, for being here today. Your blog is thelongestchapter.com. Mark Maxwell, the ever-lovely Mark Maxwell from Half Price Books, and Robin Nesbitt from the Hilliard Branch of the Columbus Library. I'm Christopher Purdy for Half Price Books. Thank you, Amy Jurevich. Thank you for listening.